Welcome to the Square Peg Show, Season 2, Episode 3, Part 2, or Weird Numbering, on April 15th, 2011. I'm Mike.
I'm Jesse.
And I'm David.
It's our superhero spinoff special, because we have a lot of news to talk about when it comes to superhero movies, and we want to review the four movies that are coming out by looking at their trailers. So we are going to start with the trailers for Captain America, The First Avenger, and Thor. Later on, we'll go over some of the news and then review the trailers of X-Men First Class and Green Lantern. So I know that we've all seen the trailers for Captain America and Thor. What are your thoughts concerning mainstream audiences? What are your thoughts concerning what you think and what you think the fanboys, the nerds would like?
Well, I mean, you know, being somewhat of a nerd, I'm actually a bit worried about these two first movies specifically.
Okay.
To me, it seems like one of those things that, now, I mean, I love Marvel's idea of, you know, let's tie in a fuck ton of movies together, which I think is a great idea. I'm worried that there's especially some characters like Thor and Captain America that would just not make it to film very well. The idea won't make it to film very well. So that's I think my main concern, as you know, as just an average moviegoer, and that the average person wouldn't really care that some dude's running around with a shield or whatnot. But you know, as far as the fanboys go, unfortunately, it's going to be another one of the things where they're just going to pick it completely apart. You know what I mean? And it's going to be like, oh man, no, that's way wrong. Fuck this movie, it's done. So,
well,
I don't know.
See, I'm kind of there with you, but when it comes to the fans liking certain kinds of movies and not liking certain kinds, like you said, you can't see people getting behind Thor and Captain America. I can see people getting behind Captain America,
yeah,
because it's at least historical fiction.
Sure.
And people are going to be like, you know, oh, Nazis. I mean, that's what I'm for. I'm like, yes, yeah, let's have a Nazi movie. I like that.
I mean, obviously, it worked in Indiana Jones, so why not?
There you go. But I see it failing with Thor. And in fact, I see Green Lantern and Thor having the same problems. They're trying to ground real world characters in these fantastic settings,
right,
which involve lots and lots of fake backgrounds and,
right,
just, you know, the things that are just going to stand out too much as unreal to make me enjoy the movie.
Well, now, as far as the Thor, I'm sure we'll get into talking about this, but the one thing I noticed about Thor is that while he does spend some time in this fantastic setting, he also spends time in this weird little podunk, you know, one streetlight kind of town for a little while, and that actually kind of takes me out of it. It's like, I don't want to see some buff blonde dude running around in some dusty town. What? That's not Thor. Fuck that.
So tell me, where do you like to see your buff blonde men?
You know what? That's between me and my buff blonde men.
In a much more populated city.
Yes.
Yeah, I hear you. But on the other hand, it's kind of like the Earthlings meet the, what is it? The Norse mythology, the Asgardians.
Right.
Asgard. but, okay, so those are pretty good impressions, I think, because... And well, one thing David said was that it's going to be kind of different because we'll talk about Green Lantern later, but that's kind of like a space opera.
Right.
And Thor would have all that Norse stuff. Captain America is a period piece, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
These are not just superhero movies. They're trying to do other things too.
Right.
And in fact, X-Men is going to be a period piece since it's highly contextualized by the Cold War.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely.
I like Jesse's comment about fanboys. There's this phrase that I really embrace. Nerds ruin everything.
It's
they pick it, they take all the fun out. I mean, you know, I'm a nerd too, and I tend to do that sometimes when I try to just pick apart something and take all the fun out of it. But, you know, then there are the ones that are just really, they never seem to be pleased by anything. You would think that having all these big name, you know,
absolutely,
or big budget movies would please them a little bit.
Stuff. I don't know if you guys ever watch a show called Nostalgia Critic that's out there, but he does a lot of characters in his show, and one of his characters is this guy who sits in his basement and picks apart every single little minute mistake that he makes. So he's really making fun of himself in this way, but I'm sure he has plenty of emails and things that are saying, oh, you know, it's not 701, it's 703, ass. You know what I mean? So, yeah, I'm totally with you, and that would just drive me up the fucking wall.
Yeah.
The way I look at it is, while I can pick apart certain things, you know, there's almost like a little tally that's going on in my head. And for all the things that I notice that are just glaringly not right, there's other things that a movie can do to make up for those things. It's like, you know, there was a lot of things about Batman, a lot of things about Spider-Man that maybe wasn't canon, or it wasn't exactly how it was in the source material, but they did something else that was just really well thought out, really well done, which is also why I like some of the Ultimate universes. Maybe it wasn't exactly how it used to be, but it was done well.
Mm-hmm.
The way I look at it is if this was the original material, if this is the, say this is the first time I've ever seen it, and it's that good, then I'm totally all about accepting it, and then I'll take away some of those tally marks in my head. But yeah, I mean, I understand how people can just ruin shit that way, completely ruin it.
I'd like to take another look at the trailers and just say, when it comes to the Thor movie, I think out of the four movies we'll be talking about, that will probably be the most successful. I think. I think it has a nice blend of comedy of action.
It's got Natalie Portman, and I mean, I dig that chick.
Yeah.
Not like Matt does, but yeah.
I'll definitely say that out of the four movies, Green Lantern is going to be the one that flops the hardest.
I got a good reason why, I think, personally.
Yeah, I know your reason why.
I happen to know from a good source that this is going to be shit.
Because Ryan Reynolds told you.
He did. He called me the other day, and he was like, Jess, this sucks, man. This sucks. I'm sorry. And I said, you know what? I don't even forgive you. Fuck off, click.
I'm not as hard on him as you are. But I think part of the problem is that he doesn't really have much expression in his face, I think, maybe.
Yeah.
For being an actor.
Yeah.
But
no, he has a great expression. It just looks like a monkey just slapped him in the balls. That's his expression.
Oh my God.
He has like one expression.
And I've read interviews with him though, and I think that he has he kind of respects the material. I don't know. I think that as a person that's trying to be the star of apparently a $200 million budget, which I don't see that in the trailer.
It's all CGI that I've seen.
Yeah, but apparently that costs a lot of money, that CGI. I don't know. Yeah.
That computer junk.
Well, I mean, I got to tell you, one of the things that, I mean, I was watching Green Lantern First Flight. Mm-hmm. And, that was an amazing DC animated movie on Green Lantern, the origin of Hal Jordan, that kind of stuff. Really, 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 really good. I don't remember who did the voice for Hal Jordan in that, but I know they're making a new one, and Nathan Fillion, of all people, will be voicing Hal Jordan. And I was sitting there thinking, man, I would love to see Nathan Fillion in this movie instead of Ryan Reynolds. Oh my God. That would be so much better.
What do you think of the way the Red Skull looks in the Captain America movie?
He's red.
He's very red. I gotta say, I'm actually a fan, and I mean, all I can think of is the original Captain America movie, which is going to be inevitably all over the place.
That was a concern of mine, was if you are trying to do a period piece in World War II that looks somewhat realistic, the two craziest looking things are going to be the guy in the giant blue suit that's throwing a shield around,
sure,
and the guy with the red skeleton face. And you know what? I am actually a big fan of Captain America, starting with Ed Brubaker's run on the comic book series.
Mm.
And I embrace that kind of larger than life stuff. Some people might be turned off that it does look fairly ridiculous when you stop to think about it. But I kind of like that they started with the 1940s. And the CGI that they used for, what's his name, Chris Evans, to be the weakling version of Steve Rogers. That was really impressive CGI, I thought.
Yeah, it wasn't bad. I mean, there were times where it was a little shaky. It honestly, to me, it looked better in the first Spider-Man movie with Peter Parker being the scrawny guy, because they did the same thing there.
Oh, okay.
And I didn't know that. Yeah. You know what? I'm not even 100% on that. That could have been real. I don't know. But I mean, there was a couple times where it was shaky, but yeah, I'm with you. I mean, for the most part, it did look pretty good, and he really looked like a weakling, like a really scrawny guy.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, you know, we're... That was something else I wanted to bring up with Chris Evans, because now we got a guy who played Johnny Storm in Fantastic Four being Captain America. Not only that, but Captain America with a gun. So what do you think about those things?
Well, he does have a gun. Apparently, back in the 1940s, the Captain America that fought Hitler had a gun. So that's somewhat true to the comics.
All right.
Although you don't think of it very often nowadays.
Definitely not. I know nowadays we got... at least had Bucky as the new Captain America, and he was running around with a pistol, which everyone was like, what? But I don't recall that in the book, so I'm not saying it didn't happen, but I just, it's definitely something that people don't really attach to Captain America, because, he usually just has a shield and wings on his head, and that's it.
Yeah, and then we've talked a little bit about Thor and a little bit about the Captain America movie, and the reason we wanted to bring those up at the beginning is because they will tie into the Avengers movie next year. You guys, are you ready to start talking a little bit about that?
Sure.
Where to start?
The Avengers movie?
Yeah, sure. Mm-hmm. Next summer.
I question the villain choice, and I mean, I know it's going to be a formation movie, and those are always great movies because training sequences and getting together and
the montage the
drama of, you know, a team coming together. The montage.
going mean, upstairs, back and
it's
forth.
It's going to be a good movie for that reason, but I doubt whether they're going to have a villain that's going to motivate the audiences to care. It's one of those, like, why should I care questions.
Who is the villain? I mean, do they have that pegged already?
I don't know.
I don't even know who the villain is in the comic.
All right, well, this is actually what I was thinking, and now I want to bring this up because this is kind of a sore spot for me, especially as of late. We have another Bruce Banner that we're dealing with here.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's Mark Ruffalo, and honestly, the more I've seen him in other things, the less I'm hating it. You know, I think he'll probably make a pretty good Banner. It's just, you know, I'm ready for some stability in The Incredible Hulk, which is probably silly to sounding, but
you know, roar! So,
yeah. And I mean, honestly,
this is the third Bruce.
Yeah, and I was an Eric Bana fan. I really was. I liked him in the character. Again, the writing was shit in that movie, but the acting was good. And then Ed Norton came around, and I thought, fuck, why hadn't I ever thought of that? Ed Norton is a genius, and he was going to make a great Banner, which he did. But now he's off, so now we got Mark Ruffalo, and you know. But the reason I even bring this up is I'm kind of thinking about another animated feature that Marvel did about Avengers, and the main villain was actually the Hulk. It was like
that's how Avengers. It was in the original comics.
Yeah,
back in 1963 or whatever, the first threat was the Hulk, which would be a kind of a neat way to to do that. I think.
So that's kind of what I'm thinking the way it'll do. Because I mean, it's not like you can just say, "Hey, you're the Hulk, come be on our team." You're the fucking Incredible Hulk. He just smashed things.
So. And then he quit the team after like two issues. Rawr, confused.
I think in the Avenger movie, the way it's going to work out is that Cap and Iron Man are going to be the primary characters. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you're going to have a leader and then you're going to have a begrudging leader. I think they'll make Iron Man be the supposed leader because he's the first person to get in with the S.H.I.E.L.D. Corporation. Mm-hmm. And he's a figurehead more so than Captain America will be. Because, you know, they'll have Captain America be probably just coming out of being frozen at that time.
Yeah, yeah.
So he's the newbie being introduced into a team.
Yeah.
And I see Thor becoming comic relief.
Perhaps. And this is just me. It's just me, like, you know, wishing I was writing the movie like, a little bit. But yeah, maybe Iron Man messes up somewhere towards the beginning and Captain America fills in the leadership role. Right. I wanted to share two things.
He's an Alky.
Yeah. Two things that actors have said. Mark Ruffalo was excited to play Hulk because it would be the motion capture CG that like Avatar and Polar Express use, where the actor is doing the facial expressions and all that. But I've heard conflicting reports of whether or not they'll do that or straight CGI for the Hulk, you know?
Yeah. Speaking of the capture, I wonder what the Hulk will actually look like. If it'll look the same as he did in the Incredible Hulk with... Because I think they kind of try to model his face after Ed Norton.
Oh, okay.
So I wonder if they'll do that. Anyway, but I'm just kind of curious.
That would be incredible.
Yeah, I haven't seen that movie. So.
Wait, what?
Well, I never saw.
You haven't seen the newer Hulk?
No, I haven't.
Podcast over.
Next.
What? Just because I haven't fucking seen a movie is like a big deal? I don't know. I was also going to say Robert Downey Jr. was a little bit concerned with the Avengers movie because, you know, the Iron Man universe is a little bit different than, you know, how over-the-top Thor would be. So he's a little worried about the conflicting tone of the movie.
Right.
But I don't know, man. It's directed by Joss Whedon. If anybody can do a team movie, I mean, he can do that.
Yeah.
It should be pretty fast-paced and snappy and all that. So.
Well, I mean, that's kind of the way the Marvel Universe is anyway. I mean, it's, you know, you got science and you have magic and they just kind of smash into one another, you know, until you come out with what has become the Marvel Universe. And as long as they can capture something like that, which, you know, I have no idea how someone would do that, but if they can, which I think they can, then, you know, I think we're in for a pretty good ride. I just don't want it to be that summer cash in. That's all I don't want to happen because that's how I felt about Iron Man 2.
All right, now let's look at a few more superhero movies that'll be coming out next year, including the Superman movie that will be coming out, I think, around November, directed by Zack Snyder, who recently did Sucker Punch. And there's been some pretty interesting casting news for it, including Amy Adams as Lois Lane, mm-hmm. and Ma and Pa Kent will be Diane Lane and Kevin Costner.
With gills! He'll always have gills, as far as I'm concerned.
To me, it signifies that they want to, you know, at least put a little bit more attention into putting some big names out there. I don't think it's going to be any good because of the director, but I'm hoping it'll be good enough to, I don't know, what, launch a Justice League movie off of it, maybe?
Well, actually, I heard something about that, and I mean, nothing in particular other than it would stand alone from any of the other franchises that are out right now. So the Kal-El that, you know, that will be in this new movie, or the Bruce Wayne that we've been watching in the current movies.
Well, no, because they're going to reboot the character after the last Nolan movie. So we'll have a different version of Batman.
Yeah, so those will all stand alone. And which, you know, it's kind of, to me, it looks almost like they're trying to do the opposite of what Marvel's doing. I mean, they're trying to bring it all together, whereas they're, you know, they'll have their separate franchises and then, you know, do something completely separate for the team movie. And I don't know if maybe that's, you know, difficulty, or if that's, you know, them thinking that this Avengers movie won't work.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I've also heard that they're going to use entirely different actors. While they do new Superman movies or new Flash movies, they'll use totally different actors for the team movie, for the Justice League movie.
Yeah.
So that's a little strange to me. Yep. But
Flash movie. Wow, that's a good idea.
Well, I think so. I mean, there's more to him than just running fast.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
He's very science-y, you know. So.
Well, one of the things I've always noticed about the DC Universe is Flash is very integral to it for some reason. Like, it always seems to come down to, you know, some horrible thing is teetering, and it always seems to be teetering on Wally West or whoever the Flash is at the time. Mm-hmm. You know, and you kill Flash, and then all hell breaks loose for some reason. So
that's because comic books keep killing the characters. Yeah.
Well, the Flash and Spider-Man have pretty much the same kind of place. They're like the everyday man. I mean, Bruce Wayne is obviously human, but he's definitely not the everyday man. But Wally West and Peter Parker, they're pretty much the guy on the street.
Yeah, absolutely.
And the comedian.
Yeah. Because if you don't have money, then you might have humor.
Right. Also, The Wolverine, which is that Darren Aronofsky, you could call it a sequel, although it has nothing to do with the other Wolverine movie. It's supposed to be, because Matt mentioned this in a previous episode, it will be, you know, like entirely set in Japan and about samurai. And Hugh Jackman was all pumped up for it, and then Darren Aronofsky decided to not do the movie. So they're trying to find a new director for it. But
you know, probably a smart move for him.
Yeah.
I don't think the Wolverine franchise has much left. Steam, adamantium, I'm not sure anything.
I was definitely worried about Origins, which, I mean, I couldn't even bring myself to watch. I heard too many people just say, don't watch it. Watch the trailer and be happy about it. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I mean, honestly, I would have liked to have seen Darren Aronofsky's version of it, honestly, because, I mean, I think he could have done something at least cooler than Origins, so, I don't know.
Me kinda, too. I mean, I like the idea of an artsy, well, if you want to say that, or independent filmmaker doing a major movie like that.
Right.
It seemed interesting, but whatever. Mm. But, you know, so next year between Avengers, Wolverine, Superman, plus The Dark Knight Rises, plus The Amazing Spider-Man. That's a very superhero-centric summer for that, too. So superhero movies not going anywhere anytime soon.
But. Well, do you guys have any impressions at all on the new Spider-Man movie that's going to be coming out?
I think we've – nothing that we haven't really said on the show before. What about you?
You guys know I'm a big Spider-Man fan, and now we have mechanical web shooters, which I'm excited about. Uh-huh. But – I was really hoping, whenever I first heard about this, I was really hoping that it was going to be a Marvel Studios kind of a thing. But unfortunately, like we've talked about before, it's not. It's going to still be Sony, and it's their own reboot.
And I found out a little bit more about that, by the way. Mm-hmm. This isn't like 100% confirmed, but I'm pretty sure this is the way it works. 20th Century Fox, Sony, any other production company will want to hold on to these properties as long as they could, right?
Right.
And the way to prolong the rights to them is to keep making more movies.
Right.
So the ironic part is because Marvel has its own studio now, all the other studios are making more superhero movies.
Yeah.
So we have a Daredevil revamp coming up. And
thank God.
That explains the plethora of superhero movies. I was wondering about that because there weren't so many in the early 90s and prior. Mm. And then about the time that Spider-Man and X-Men came out, superhero movies kind of blossomed. And I figured it would be like a 5 or 10 year trend and then, you know, something else would catch. Yeah. But they've stayed. And I'm not sure, I don't feel a need from the public for these movies, but they keep making them and it's baffling to me. So that explains it. Thank you.
Yeah. And it's really only because, I mean, originally there was no Marvel Studios as far as movies go. I mean, they just sold it off to whoever wanted to make it. Whereas DC, I mean, they're already owned by Warner Brothers, so they're going to handle all of that stuff.
But they haven't done anything. That's the funny part.
Well, you know? Yeah, you know, except for the Dark Knight stuff. But yeah, I mean,
you think they would have, you know, used more characters by now? But
maybe, I don't know. Maybe because they have, you know, all of their stuff done in house that they don't really have to worry about most of that stuff, and they'll just make them whenever they make them. Unfortunately, that, you know.
Yeah, they have less pressure.
Right, but they still don't put enough time and effort into, you know, some of their movies. Superman. And, so.
Yeah, but I hear you on that, David. I mean, I could tell you're a little disinterested in, you know, all these movies at once. My wife is the same way. She will watch a superhero movie if it's different. But a lot of these that go through the origin and then, you know, it can feel kind of, you know, all like they're the same sometimes. So.
Well, I do love the origin movies, especially when it's a character that hasn't been done. Like if they made another Incredible Hulk, which kind of recovered his origin all over again,
yeah,
I wouldn't be interested. But the Incredible Hulk that they made as a reboot really didn't do it. It just kind of continued forward, and I enjoyed the forward momentum.
Yeah, they kind of glossed over it in the opening montage, but that was really it. And I think they did it on purpose.
Yeah.
But here's another thing I got to throw out there for the Hulk movie. You just made me think about this, David. For the two Hulk movies and the television series that we've had, we have yet to get the actual origin of the Incredible Hulk, and as far as the comics was concerned. I mean, you know, Spider-Man got bit by a radioactive spider. That's happened in every iteration. Whereas the Incredible Hulk is, you know, in the television show, he was working on trying to find the inner strength that people had. And in the first movie, he was trying to work on something that would heal you from the inside. And none of those have to do with a gamma bomb.
Right.
So
none of them have a person running into the middle of a nuclear testing facility.
Right. So, I mean, and is that because our hero or our main character, I mean, is it kind of a bad word that he was working on a bomb that, you know, maybe the populace wouldn't like something like that? Instead, he's a doctor. He's trying to help people or something like that.
I think with that particular character, it has to do with that the larger the origin, the larger the character has to be. I mean, we want Incredible Hulk to be very personal, very much so. Like you follow one character through his personal struggles. Mm-hmm. Whereas Superman, I mean, he comes from another planet and therefore he takes care of our planet.
Yeah.
So they put him on a scale that I think is proper for the character. Like Hal Jordan will become the caretaker of a planet, so he must have immaculate Ryan Reynolds-esque introduction. I mean, only Ryan Reynolds could take care of the world.
Right.
That's a good segue for the last part of the show. One more thing, though. I hope they do not cover the origins in the next Spider-Man and Superman movies. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I really hope they don't. But unfortunately, if it's a reboot that we think it is, then they probably will. They'll at least
skip past it. Everybody knows what happens, though.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, like, you know, they did it pretty well in the newest Incredible Hulk movie. They really just kind of skimmed over it in the opening credits and then went from there, which was fine because, you know, it was pretty soon that the newer Hulk movie came out from the last one. So, you know, I'm with you, though. I kind of hope they just gloss over it maybe a little bit just to catch the viewer up and then just go.
Okay, Green Lantern and X-Men First Class, the trailer reviews. That's what we're going to do next. A few things about X-Men First Class before we start that. That would be another one that Jesse was talking about, where an older studio is rushing this, really. I mean, this movie was filmed, production, pre-production, everything very quickly, and it kind of shows in the trailer, I thought. What did you guys think of X-Men First Class trailer?
The first trailer had an incredibly slow pace, and I would think that for a reboot where they're trying to not only intro a larger storyline but just get the crowd's attention again to something that kind of ended on a poor note with X-Men 3 and continues on a poor note with Wolverine Origins. It seems like they were trying to market to an audience that I'm not sure exists with the more epic historical slowness of it. I did like the use of John F. Kennedy's speech to ground them in a historical period and give them kind of a larger context to work within. Yeah. But at the same time, we got this serious history and we finally got the yellow spandex, and that's a horrible clash. I'm not really sure if I like it or if I'm like excited or fearful or what.
Well, I'm pretty sure they're going to use the JFK stuff to in relation to Xavier and Magneto. Like, I think they will have to do some of the legwork in the Cuban Missile Crisis.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. If you like that kind of stuff where they put fiction and history together. But
yeah, I actually like that kind of thing. But I mean, let's look at this for what it is. It's not a reboot. It's a direct prequel. Because, wow. I mean, even in the trailers, I mean, they're even using scenes from the original X-Men movie. So, you know, it's definitely a prequel. It's just, you know, all the fucking actors are different.
They're also going to do things that contradict the other movies, though. So,
are they really?
So in a way, they're kind of trying to go both ways.
Okay. I see that. Okay.
If they want to contradict something that happened before, they can, but you're right. They are trying to use the same,
Continuity. As far as the way this looks, of the four, this is actually the one I'm actually most looking forward to.
Oh, really?
Right. Yeah, and I mean, I'm also a big, huge X-Men fan, like most comic geeks are, and I've always loved the stories of back when Charles and Eric were where they started. They were friends and all that kind of stuff, and then it all kind of goes to hell. I'm a fan of that. I'm also a fan of the costumes. Actually, I like it better than the black leather that they had rocking in the first three movies.
I don't like that kind of stuff where they're like, what do you expect, yellow spandex? Like, ha ha ha.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, come on. It's the comic book, so yeah. What are you going to just, like, make fun of the source, make fun of the stuff that you're whatever.
Right, yeah.
That was a very nerd moment I just had, but yeah.
Well, it happens.
The last thing is, and I think is really important, now we have a X-Men property that's going to be pretty big because it's made it to a movie without Wolverine. And right. I think that's really, really important because Wolverine's always been like the front runner for the X-Men. If you look at a Wizard magazine from anywhere in the 90s, there was fucking Wolverine on the cover. You know, that's like the most recognizable X-Men that I can ask my mom, I can ask my mom who Wolverine is and she'll know who it is. But now we don't have that character, and now we have the rest of this movie to push without, you know, that kind of publicity. And that's something I'm actually looking for. I'm hoping for that, because, you know, don't get me wrong, Hugh Jackman surprised me, but I'm ready for some not Wolverine for a while.
So let's say, what's going to sell it? I mean, what do you think is going to keep that movie in the green?
The only way it's going to do it is some really solid story. And I think that's probably why they're trying to mix in the historical kind of stuff, but I mean, if they can do it right, then it'll work perfectly, I think.
Mm. I also think the two leads are good. You know, when you have to follow up Patrick Stewart and Ian McKellen, that's difficult.
Yeah.
But James McAvoy, and I'm going to say his name wrong, I think it's like Michael Fassbender or something. Mm. They're both really good actors from what I've seen of their work.
Right.
So, you know, at least they got some good talent involved. Right. January Jones is... as Emma Frost, that should be good.
Yeah. Kevin Bacon is in it, right? Sebastian Shaw?
Mm-hmm.
That's a little strange to me.
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I saw Patrick Dempsey. Patrick Dempsey wants to be Doctor Strange. I thought that was interesting, too. But, anyway, that's not
well, what we're talking about. The two movies that we covered in the earlier half of this show, both of them had what seemed to be a officiating actor in there. I mean, one of them had Tommy Lee Jones, and the other one had mind blank.
Well, Tommy Lee Jones is in Captain Portman. America.
Mm-hmm.
And oh, you mean Anthony Hopkins, maybe?
Anthony Hopkins.
There you go.
Oh, yeah.
So we have Anthony Hopkins in Thor as Odin. And mm-hmm. in this movie, the X-Men movie, we have Kevin Bacon.
Hey,
not
man.
Sure where they're going with that one.
We all know that Kevin Bacon has been and will be in every movie ever made, so...
At least by 6 degrees.
That's right.
Okay, and any more thoughts on X-Men for First Class?
Magneto's helmet. So excited.
Yeah, I mean, I gotta say, I'm actually a fan of that. The whole scene where they're in the Blackbird, which, by the way, is an actual Blackbird that I've always seen in the X-Men stuff, the SR-71 Blackbird, the real plane. Fan of that. Mm-hmm. But that whole scene where they're just kind of hovering there and Magneto's got this sub just suspended mm-hmm. in air, mm-hmm. I love it. I thought that was badass, personally.
Well, Absolutely. To me, it's always difficult. I mean, when the actor just has to wave his hand at something and pretend to be concentrating hard, I don't know. rather see some fire or something.
Well, sure. I mean, definitely looking at it from a movie making standpoint, yeah, sure. But looking at it from a comic fan, I mean, that just looked cool. I don't know what the hell he plans to do with it.
Yeah, that's true.
But for a trailer, that thing looked awesome.
You're going to take it home.
Mine.
Well, Jesse has a different take on it than me because I agree with David. It seems slow. It seems, but it also seems in a way that I can't tell if it's going to be really good or really bad or somewhere in between.
Right.
Now, if you want to see a better version of it, I advise you to watch the Russian version.
Really?
I'm not sure if you caught that, but you can YouTube the Russian version. And I mean, you go international and they have different audiences to appeal to. So there's a bit of different material and they use a lot more of Erich Lehnsherr in the Nazi concentration camp. And as I mentioned before, like Nazi movies, that helped.
Awesome. Yeah, let's talk about Green Lantern for a second because listeners, I'm sure you've watched that trailer. And I mean, it's cool to see all the new stuff that was out in WonderCon, like the YouTube clip said, but I mean, is it just me, or does it just look like Star Wars Episode 3, like all on a green screen? And
That's an interesting comparison. I've actually seen that comparison popping up a lot to the point where people are splicing videos together and making mockumentaries about the similarities.
Actually, you know what? I should say Episode 2. Episode 3 was way better. But anyway, yeah. I mean, it's to me, it's I can't. It's hard for me to suspend my disbelief that far because I can't imagine that anything in the background is even real at all.
Yeah, and it's not a question of the story. I don't really mind if the story takes place mostly in outer space.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I would rather it look like traveling through a solar system or something realistic. I don't know. Bring back some of the special effects that they used to use 10, 15 years ago if you have to, or I don't know. I don't know the behind the scenes of it, but I agree. It looks very much like you're watching an extended sequence in a video game or
unfortunately all I see is a floating Ryan Reynolds head. I mean that's the only thing I'm pretty sure is real. Everything else I don't want to see his head floating around for an hour and a half. I don't need that. And I mean, and I'm looking at his costume, I'm looking at even the mask on his face. Do you really have to CGI the mask on his face? It looks terrible.
Well, you know, they're supposed to be refining some of that stuff, you know.
I really hope so. It looks unfinished to me, is my official standpoint.
Well.
And who would be the major officiating actor in this movie?
Ryan Reynolds.
To back up Ryan Reynolds.
That's the only real live actor I've seen so far.
Well, they have, like, Gnort and some raccoon guy. I hope the raccoon Green Lantern is.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. He's the man.
I mean, isn't someone playing a villain Sinestro? At some point in this movie? Is Sinestro the villain?
Yeah.
Oh, that's true, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not sure on the actor. I'm blanking on the actor who's playing.
And how do they, Jesse, do you know how they do the special effects for that? Is that just entirely CG for Sinestro also?
It looks like kind of half and half, which is what they're doing with Ryan Reynolds' mask on his face. I mean, it looks like it's a real person, but they've kind of got this effect going on his head because Sinestro's head was kind of tall because of whatever race he was or whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
But it looks like a half and half sort of thing. But I mean, they've even changed his eyes to where that doesn't even look real. The only thing that really looks real is maybe his nose and his mouth, and that's about it.
There is another villain. The actor's name is Peter Sarsgaard or Skarsgård or something like that. And he's the guy that plays the guy the gigantic brain. And that's back on Earth, maybe. So
that's where the credibility comes from.
Yeah. Or the gravitas.
He's a really good actor.
He's
the gravitas. Yes, he's a great actor, and as long as you don't do something like cast him as a villain with like a giant brain poking out of his head or something like that, it should work, right?
Yeah.
So who's his character?
I don't know off the top of my head.
Well, there's
a guy
research.
With a giant brain popping out
of his head. Off the top of my head. Yeah.
Well, I mean, another one of the issues that I have is whenever I looked at the Green Lantern, and you know, when I was a kid, Green Lantern was just awesome. His ring could make thoughts a reality. Great idea, right? Great, awesome, original idea. And then they said, there's a whole fucking core of these guys. Another awesome, beautiful, genius idea. But what was cool about it was that it was all of these alien races that took care of all these different planets and all these different sectors of space, but there was one similar thing to all of them, and that was they had this costume on. And, you know, you could take almost any alien crazy looking race and put them in this costume and a mask and a ring, and they're part of the Green Lantern Corps. Well, now it just seems like it's their skin that has somehow changed color. So these costumes are textured in billions of different ways. And I mean, even Ryan Reynolds, I mean, his costume is textured almost like muscle.
is, and that's a choice for the movie, right? I'm not. Right. I don't think that. Yeah, I can see what you mean. If it's supposed to be part of this galactic core, it would be different to have.
Right.
Yeah. Here's the thing. When it comes to if it's true, $200 million, nerd money is not going to get you that far. And I don't think there's crossover interest with mainstream audiences enough because Green Lantern, like I was saying with Captain America sometimes, Green Lantern looks especially silly because it's about a magic ring. And it's about, are they going to do like the weaknesses? Like, you know.
Yeah, I would assume that they would have to. What I was thinking that would happen is they would probably have whoever the brain guy is as a intermediate mm-hmm. villain. Mm-hmm. And then Sinestro at some point, I mean, this is the biggest story that I've seen from Green Lantern, is that the Sinestro at some point comes up with this yellow element and is able to...
Yellow, yeah.
Yeah, and is able to have his own ring, his own power ring, and pretty much start decimating the Green Lantern Corps single-handedly, because that's the ring's only weakness or whatnot.
So, you know, the average moviegoer, if you're not into this, is going to be like, wait, so it's like green versus yellow? That's the whole thing, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I think it was Big Bang Theory said something like, so you can kill Green Lantern with a number two pencil or something? And I was like, wow.
So they got to get around those kind of obstacles if they were trying to make it.
Unfortunately, I think the mainstream audience will have a really hard time with something like that. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, what? I mean, this traffic light turns yellow and there's nothing he can do. I don't know.
All right, seems so silly. Thor will be the biggest success, then Captain America, then X-Men First Class. No, wait, I don't know. Maybe. And then Green Lantern is probably going to flop. Who said that earlier? Jesse?
Probably.
Yeah, I think it's going to flop.
Yeah.
And I agreed with that. Although not necessarily the order, the first two.
Okay.
Well, one other thing is, I don't even know if this is really happening, but I mean, for you comic geeks out there, at least you'll know who I'm talking about. There was a rumor at some point that Common, the rapper Common, was going to be Jon Stewart in a Green Lantern movie. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I mean, that could have been a rumor. That could have got canned somewhere along the way. But I got
to
tell you, I was actually really excited about that. And I was hoping that would happen. I figured if Common was going to be in a movie, though, then we would have seen it in the trailer. And I haven't seen it, so that brings me a little tear.
Jon Stewart is a super great character when it came to the animated series, too.
So. Definitely. Big fan of Jon Stewart.
Yeah.
I got to say, this: there's a trend that's popping up in these movies, and maybe it's just because of the return of the 80s and therefore some of the return of the 80s stereotypes.
Mm.
But these superheroes that are coming out in these movies are freaking muscular.
Oh, yeah.
I need to go to the gym. I watch these trailers, and I'm like, oh, my God, I have nothing. I mean, they actually look to me like the superhero size, where it's like bigger than
right.
life.
Yeah.
And I like that. I mean, Batman can get away with it because he wears like a bodysuit. But I mean, the Superman that came out? Yeah. Oh my God. Oh my God.
Well, and Chris Evans and Ryan Reynolds and Chris Hemsworth, the guy that plays Thor, they're all pretty ripped. You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's no credit to Ryan Reynolds. That's all CGI.
That's all CGI.
I don't think so. All right. Okay, well, any other thoughts about these movies, or are we ready to wrap the show?
Let's wrap it. I don't even want to think about Ryan Reynolds anymore in his floating head.
All right, well, we don't have any other features for wrapping the show up, so we're just going to say bye. Thanks for listening. All right, Jesse has a few more things to say about where you can find us.
Excelsior.
Hey guys, just a quick reminder that if any of you would like to be on the show, suggest topics for the show, or just have questions or comments, please let us know at squarepegshow@gmail.com or on our website, squarepegshow.com. You can also follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and subscribe to us on iTunes. So until next time, guys, be square.